it's starting a short series of Bible talks, as Fee mentioned. We're starting today, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 to 13, and we're going to be thinking about church and what it means to be God's new community. Now, we started to think a little bit about that before Christmas, when we were in 1 John. So we saw things like this, didn't we, in 1 John chapter 3. We saw, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. That's us lot. And we saw as well chapter 4 verse 7 of 1 John, beloved, let us as a church love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we saw it a little bit before Christmas, and now we're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 13. And of course, Christ Church Central, as a church, we have three values. You may know this already. If you don't, we have three values. They are come to Christ, belong to his family, and love our neighbours. The second, belong to his family, is all about church. So our website says this. If you haven't read the website, do go and have a look and see if you can find this. Our website says of belonging to his family, so this is how the website describes it. As we come to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit and are adopted into God's family, into church. Belonging to God's household means being transformed into the likeness of our Lord as we love, encourage, pray, serve, give, and cultivate healthy spiritual friendships. But what do we do with the fact that we're all so different? So belonging is great, but it's a lot easier when everyone's the same. And if you look around the room here, if you think of our brothers and sisters in the morning congregation, we're all quite different. So that's the question that we bring to our passage this morning. What do we do with the fact that we're all so different this evening? My notes say this morning. This evening, we'll bring it to our passage. Now, as I say that, you might well be thinking, Tim, it's all well and good you're talking about this, differences, but why aren't we thinking about spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12, why are we not thinking about spiritual gifts right now? Well, let's think about that for a moment or two. When we read 1 Corinthians, when we read it, it's like listening to one side of a phone call. It's like hearing one side of the phone call and not hearing the other side. So when we read this letter, we obviously can see what Paul's saying, but we don't really understand what's going on in Corinth. We don't really understand what's going on there. Now, we do know a few things. We do know that Paul's writing to help a church like us with a pastoral situation, and we also know that he's not writing an encyclopedia article here. But beyond that, it requires a little bit of guesswork as to what exactly is going on there. Well, as you read chapters 12 to 14, if you get a chance to do it this week, do that. But as you read chapters 12 to 14, there seems to be a bit of a particular obsession in Corinth with the gift of tongues. And it seems to be leading to some kind of disorder in the Corinthian church. Now, we know there's disorder and division in the Corinthian church from chapter 3, if you're taking notes. Now, when we come to chapter 12, it starts off with this line here, now concerning spiritual gifts. So there are various things in the letter that Paul is writing into, and they start off with that phrase, now concerning. Here, it's now concerning spiritual gifts. But if you have a look at the footnote there, chapter 12, verse 1, there's a footnote 7 down at the bottom. It says, spiritual gifts can also be translated spiritual persons. There's ambiguity here about whether he's writing about spiritual gifts or spiritual persons. And I wonder if perhaps he's talking about both. He's talking and referring to people in Corinth who are calling themselves spiritual, who are insisting on particular spiritual gifts. Now, if we zoom to the end of this little section here in the letter, chapter 14, verse 40 says that all things should be done decently and in order. So that's kind of where he's going with this section. It's about how a church should work, how they should relate to each other in a church, decently and in order. And so, as we'll see in the coming weeks, Paul's main focus in chapters 12 to 14 is not primarily on the spiritual gifts, it's on how the church acts one to another. And of course, there's chapter 13, which is that great wedding passage, which is not at all about weddings at all. It's about Christians behaving badly, and they should actually behave with love one to another. So this section is about how the church, people in the church, relate to each other, and that they should relate with love. And as we'll see today, whatever gift you're given, and as we're going to see, there's a list far greater than the list that's here in this passage. But whatever gift you're given, that gift is to be used for the good of others in your church family. And so, and this is the key point, I guess, that we want to draw out here this, at the start. This passage, whilst it talks about miraculous spiritual gifts, to me at least, I think the root issue here seems to be the question of how a church that is diverse in giftings, diverse in personalities, can relate one to another. And that's kind of where we're going this evening. In any case, there is a lot of disagreement about spiritual gifts, miraculous spiritual gifts, amongst Bible-believing Christians, people like us. There's a diversity within unity. And so what we're focusing on this evening is actually all the more relevant. If you do want to talk more about spiritual gifts, do come and have a chat with Fee or with me afterwards. Very happy to talk more. But that diversity in unity is the key theme where we're going this evening. Diversity in unity. Look around this room. I mean, we can be very English sometimes, but actually do look around you. It would help me. We're all quite diverse, aren't we? Different ages, stages, different ethnicities, different cultural backgrounds. Diversity in unity. That's really hard to get right. And we will all tend to gravitate one way or the other, do we? You know, some of us will gravitate more towards diversity, and others will gravitate more towards unity. I wonder which one you gravitate towards. Perhaps you lean more towards unity than diversity. You know this is you if you think like this. You start to act like everyone else should be the same. You don't really ever talk to people that are different to you. You don't really spend time with people that are different. Or perhaps you look at the rest of the group and you think, well, everyone else is the same, but I'm different and therefore I feel like an outsider. Or perhaps you leaned more towards diversity rather than unity. And we can see this when we start to act like everyone here is different to each other. And that means we can be completely independent of each other. We don't need anyone else here. We can keep everyone else at arm's length. They don't need me. I don't need them. Which way do you lean? Do you lean towards diversity, or do you lean towards unity? Well, as we get into this passage, we're going to see here that Paul draws out two things about diversity in unity. Two things that will help us as a church family in our diversity to relate well to each other. We're going to see first that diversity in unity reflects who God is. And secondly, we're going to see that God has decided that diversity and unity is actually for the common good of each church family. So let's get into that first one there, point two here. Diversity and unity reflects God, verses 4 to 6. Let's have a look at verses 4 to 6 again, page 959. They start off just there, page 959. Verse 4 says this, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Now, as I was reading that, and as you were looking at it, did you spot the repeated phrases there? varieties, varieties, varieties. Same, same, same. And this is kind of where we start to see that diversity and unity idea coming through. And did you spot as well where it flows out of? Did you spot that? It flows out of God and who he is. So God is Trinity, and so it flows out of the fact that he is Spirit. He's Lord, Lord Jesus, that is, and Father God. Spirit, Lord, God. Did you see that down there? What is the Trinity? What are we talking about when we say Trinity? Well, Trinity is the word Christians have used since the early church to describe the way that God self-identifies in the Bible. So God refers to himself in the Bible as Father, Son, and Spirit. They are three persons. That's the theological term for it. They're three persons who are equally God, but who are different, distinct to each other. So the Father isn't the Son, and the Son isn't the Spirit. They are three. But at the same time, though they're three different persons, they're not three gods. They're one God. There's three persons in one God. Diversity in unity. And here's the thing that Paul's getting to here. The church, we are to be like the God who saved us. Did you see the church's unity there in verses 2 and 3? Have a look down there. Verse 2 says, "Before we came to faith, we were led astray to mute idols." We were going our own directions. But verse 3 says that we can only say that Jesus is Lord, we can only have faith in Jesus because of the Holy Spirit's work in us, because he's at work in us. It's his gift of faith. Now, there's a remarkable unity here in this room. And this is it. We all have faith because the same Spirit did that same work in our hearts, giving us that gift of faith. And that's astonishing when you think about it. Even the faith that we have is a gift of the Spirit. Salvation is all of God's work. We bring nothing to the table. However you have that gift, however he gave you that gift, and we've all got different testimonies, we've all got different stories of what the Lord has done in our lives to bring us to faith. However he gave you that gift of faith is the same. There's a remarkable unity amongst us. But there's also a diversity within our unity. Have a look down at chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 again. There are, do you see it down there? There are varieties of gifts. There are varieties, verse 5, of service. There are, verse 6, varieties of activities. So there is more than one gift. There's more than one area of service. There's more than one kind of activity. They've been gifted. They've been allocated differently to each individual. That's what verse 11 says. Each one of us has a different allocation. Yet they're all freely given by the same Spirit to be used in various types of ministry, various types of service of the same Lord, all empowered by the same Father. Diversity in unity. Our diversity in unity reflects the way that God has diversity in unity. But more than that, more than reflecting him, our diversity in unity is powered by God. Did you see that in verse 6? Have a look down there at verse 6. It's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, in the Greek, the same word is behind activities and empowers. It doesn't look like that here, but it is in the Greek. It's like Paul is saying that there are various things to be doing, but it's the same God who does all things in and through everyone. Diversity is in unity doesn't just reflect God, it's powered by God. And that, friends, that's at the start of a new year, that's really reassuring. I don't know how you feel at the start of this new year. maybe you're looking forward with loads of energy, or maybe you're looking forward and you're already tired. But here, this bit of the Bible says that our differences are powered by God. That's really reassuring, because it's difficult to be in a church with people that are different to you. And perhaps you're here and you're a gospel team leader, or you're a leader in some kind of ministry, or you serve in some kind of ministry. You're gifted in leadership, you're gifted in caring for others, you're gifted in teaching the Bible, you're gifted in various other ways, and you've been called to serve in this ministry. But perhaps you're feeling like you can't really do it in your own strength. You can't do it by yourself. Well, here in this bit of the Bible, verse 6, God promises that he has empowered you to do that activity that he's called you to do. He will do it as you do it. And he'll also help you by those around you. Perhaps you're here and you're in a gospel team. Well, that's probably most of us, isn't it? Or you're in a ministry. Well, you have the gifts and the area of service of encouraging and supporting and lifting up those that are leading your gospel team or your ministry. Well, God here promises that he will empower you to do that ministry, to do that activity of encouraging and supporting them. He will do it as you do it. Diversity and unity is really good, and it's really, really good that it's empowered by God. That's why in verse 7, do look down, that's why in verse 7 it says, to each is given the, do you see what the next word is there? I think we'd expect it to say, to each is given the gift of the Spirit for the common good. But it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Whatever you're good at, whatever you bring to the table, your abilities, your character, your resources, your time, your skills, all of these are ways in which the Spirit is at work amongst us. Different gifts given, different areas to serve in, yet all empowered by God. We're all examples of the Spirit at work amongst us. So take a look around. Look around again. The person next to you is an example of the Spirit at work. The person in front of you, the person behind you, that's the Spirit at work here in this church family. We're all different. We're united like God is within himself. And it's not always easy, but it is glorious. And God himself empowers us in our differences to serve him and each other. So, friends, don't despair if you feel like you're different to other people here. We're all different. There's diversity in unity. And don't just spend time with people who are like you. There's glory in diversity within unity. If you're single, spend time with married people or with families. If you're a student, spend time with non-students. If you're not a student, invite the students into your homes, into your family, into your life. Diversity in unity is not always easy, but it is glorious because it reflects who God is. That's our first point. Our final point, our third point up there. Why does God do all this? I mean, why not make us all the same? Why not give us all a rigid uniformity? Why doesn't he make us all the same like in some other religions? Well, we've seen that it's a reflection of who God is. He's Trinity. He's not one. He's three in one. But in this second point, in verses 7 through 11, we see that diversity and unity is for the common good. Did you see that down there in verse 7? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now look, that's really important. Whatever you have been given is not just for you. Our gifts are not for our own personal profit, but for the good of those around us. God has made us all different because we're all better off when we have this diversity. So the person behind you needs the gifts that the Spirit has given you. And the person across the room needs the gifts of the person behind you. And you need the gifts of someone else in the room. And they need the gifts of someone else. You get the picture. We all need each other. And we're all better off when we use our diversity in service of each other and our Lord. We're going to come back to that next week. Do come back, and we'll be looking at the next bit of chapter 12. But what about these actual gifts themselves? Well, verses 8 through to 10 has that list. And again, apologies if you were eagerly awaiting a talk explaining what each and every one of these is. I'm not giving that talk. You can come and have a chat with me afterwards, or you know, we could do a progress course or something on it. But I think there are three things here that are worth focusing on right now. And the first one is this. Did you notice when Mark read the list that at the start of each phrase, Paul says to one or to another? So Paul really wants to highlight that the Spirit has allocated different gifts to different people. Now, I don't know if you like puzzles. Christmas is puzzle time in our family. We did a big 1,000-piece puzzle, just about finished it in time. Paul says that each person has been given a gift. It's a bit like a different piece of the puzzle. No two pieces are exactly the same. No two gifts are exactly the same. And we all need to put them together for the good of everyone else. What you have is for the common good. We need to work together with our different gifts and serve each other and our Lord with our different gifts. Diversity in unity. That's the first thing. But the second thing that I think is worth remembering is that this list here isn't everything. This isn't the whole list of all the spiritual gifts in the Bible. There are other gifts written of elsewhere in the Bible, including in this very letter, the gifts of singleness and marriage, spiritual gifts of singleness and marriage. That's in chapter 7. Those two spiritual gifts are also given for the common good. And besides those two and this list here, there are also, you know, there's mention of the spiritual gift of apostles, of teachers, of administration, of helping, of exhortation, of giving, the spiritual gift of giving, of leadership, of showing mercy, of service, the spiritual gift of pastors, evangelists, the spiritual gift of speaking. If you're taking notes, there are lists of gifts in chapter 12, verse 28, Romans 12, 6 to 8, Ephesians 4:11, and 1 Peter 4:11. But the point is that that list that I just said there and these things here pretty much covers everything that we do as a church. The point is this. This list here isn't the only list. This isn't the full list. And I think that's really quite liberating. This letter wasn't written to Christ Church Central. It was written to a church in Greece some 2,000 years ago. I wonder, were Paul to write directly to us, perhaps he'd write a different list. I mean, there's no mention here of the gift of operating PA or operating the PowerPoint, and we are so grateful for these guys for serving us. That's the second thing. The third thing to remember is that it's worth adding as well that if we overly focus on the more extravagant, miraculous spiritual gifts, I think we're kind of missing the point. I think we're missing the point. You see, all the gifts written of here and elsewhere in the Bible are gifts from the Spirit. They're all miraculous, supernatural, spiritual gifts. The ones written of here in this bit of 1 Corinthians were given to the Corinthian church by the Spirit, who apportions to each one accordingly, individually as he wills. That's what verse 11 says. And so that means that all the gifts that we do have here in our church family have been given to us for our good, for the building up of our church in our city, in our day and age. So at the start of the talk, we asked, what do we do with the fact that we're all so different? And I hope you're starting to see that diversity in unity is glorious. It's really glorious because it reflects who God is. And in his kindness is how God works in us for our good. So as we start to draw to a close, what does all this mean for us here at Christ Church Central? Here are three ideas for us to think about, to reflect on and think about in the week ahead. And the first one is this: let's be a church family that celebrates diversity in unity. Let's celebrate it. Why not go and speak to someone afterwards that you've never spoken to before? Someone who's different to you, from a different part of the world or a different stage of life to you. Let's be a church that celebrates diversity in unity. Second thing to go and think about is, can I encourage you to use this as a framework for thinking about how you could serve, how you could use your gifts? Verse 4 to 6 talks of gifts, areas of service, and empowered activities. So what gift has the Spirit given you? I mean, don't necessarily just think of something extravagant, but what are you good at? Are you good at DIY? We need some people to help with DIY at church. Are you good with an Excel spreadsheet? Are you good at cooking lots of food? These are miraculous spiritual gifts. They might not feel like it, but they are. They've been given for the common good. That's gifts. Service. Look at the opportunities for service that are in front of you. How can you or your gifts fill a gap? Have a chat with Emma, or with Fee, or with me. Have a chat with Lucy and Steve Jones. They're helping us as a church family to serve and care for the refugees and asylum seekers. Have a chat about the opportunities there are. Thirdly, we do all this remembering and resting in the fact that it's ultimately all God's work. Everything we do here in this church family is an empowered activity. Ultimately, it's God who will be at work through us as we exercise our gifts. And we do that remembering that greatest gift, that gift of faith, is a gift that he gave to us. He saved us. He placed us in this church. And he will sustain us and will keep us till the Lord's return. Amen. If the musicians would like to come up, we're going to take a few moments. What's the Lord laid on your heart? What's the Lord laid on your heart the last few minutes? What do you need to say back to him in response? Dear Father, we thank you so much for placing us in your church. We thank you that there is a diversity within this church. We thank you that there is a unity here. We thank you that you have given us the gifts that we've been given for the good of each other in this church. And please, would you give us wisdom? Would you give us insights as to how best we can use those gifts?